anyhow, we love you. Amen. So, this morning, we want to turn to the Word of the Lord. I'm so sorry, the title looks really boring, doesn't it? Work. We're here on a Sunday, which is the Lord's Day and the day of rest and the Sabbath. And you say, I don't want to talk about work. I'd rather talk about rest and play and all of these things like that. But I believe the Lord will speak to us this morning as we look at this. And so I invite you, if you have your Bibles or your electronic Bible, if you want to turn, we're going to look mostly in two different books of the Bible. We're going to look at the very beginning, in Genesis, near the beginning. And then we are going to look at the book of Nehemiah. I'm losing people. I don't know why. That's okay. We'll keep going. Okay. So here we are on Mother's Day. And those of you who are mothers, I can only imagine some of the work that you do and the work that you have done. I am not a biological mother. I'm not a mother, adoptive mother. I'm not a stepmother. I'm only a spiritual mother. I shouldn't say only. I'm a spiritual mother, as many of you are as well. And if you're here, if you're a woman today and you're here, God has a place of mothering for you in His family, in His kingdom. And I, so mothers who are biological mothers in these ways, God bless you. I know it is not easy, and it's a lifetime. When you're a mother for a lifetime, right? And you will need God's strength all the way through. For others of you who are, you may say, well, I'm single, I don't have children from my body, nor have I married, and I'm a stepmother, nor have I adopted. As I said, God has a place for you to be a mother in His family. How many people around us come from broken families, broken homes, where there is very little love? But if you are God's child this morning, God has put His love in your heart, and that love can flow to others. I want to say something else. That applies even to some of you who are younger people as well. It's not just you reach a certain age and then you can be a mother. We can begin mothering at any age because once we're walking with the Lord. But so I want to turn on this morning, continue as we talk about, we're going to talk about work for just a little while. I've been studying and meditating on what I want to share with you this morning for the last 5 months. When I was with the pastors at Pastors Refresh in Rizal in Laguna in March, I spoke on some of this. When I was with Anil on our recent trip to the country that I'm not supposed to name on camera, but from where I got this really nice dress, thank you, and was up in the mountains where the monkeys stole my bread, that place, and Pastor Renee's bread too. I spoke on part of this. And then at Lambunao this past Sunday, I spoke on this as well. So I want to talk for a while just about work this morning, and I believe God will speak to your hearts this morning. And I want to encourage you. You may be retired and you say, well, this doesn't refer to me. So, Sister Lisa, this refers to you. Nainai, this refers to you, even though you are long past retirement age. Those of you who are students, you're not working yet. Does this refer to you? Yes. David, Julia, and others. Timothy, Ruth, and others. This refers to all of us. This applies to all of us this morning. So we're going to look at the work of God, at work. And I want to ask you some questions. We're going to look at work from God's viewpoint. And I want to ask you something. Who is the first one to work? Who was the first one to work? God. I was hoping to trick some of you. I was hoping that you were going to say Adam. But you're smarter than that. You're right. God was the first one to work. So look with me at this really quickly. And I want to give us a pattern. And we want to move forward, right? And when we see the beginning of it, then it helps us with where we are now. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished His work, had finished the work He had been doing. This is NIV. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. And so the very first image, the very first picture we have, the very first example we have of work comes from God. And we're going to look at some other verses. So what was the work that God did that's described here? What's the work that God did? He created, right? He created. Okay, so what did God create? Okay, think for just a minute of all the different things in creation, both inanimate and animate. Think fruit, anything. Think with me for just a minute. Let me get some feedback. What to you are just some of the most interesting things that you most love or that are interesting to you that God created? Okay, you just shout out one thing. Anybody?
The universe.
Oh, too big, Keith. The universe. Sorry. Please be specific. Okay. Lisa. What?
I love clouds.
Clouds. I thought she said cows. I love cows. And I thought, me too, because cows give us cheese and ice cream. Yay. And yogurt. Can't lose. Clouds. Yeah, so great. Okay. Somebody else. What?
Light.
Okay, light. Okay, light. Okay, somebody else. Specific. La. What?
Plants.
Plant. Did you say plant? Plant. Okay. Lerma. Be more specific. I'm putting her on the spot now. Right. Trees. Okay. Can you be more specific than that? Okay. It came from this little seed, and look what it produces. Okay. That's. I'm just giving you a hard time. Yes. That was in my notes, by the way. Just to give some of you a hard time, I was going to mention durian and cats. just to give you a hard time. Okay, two or three other things, and then we'll keep on going.
Fish.
What?
Colored fish.
Colored fish, right? Yeah. Like Siamese fighting fish that change colors sometimes, or the other ones that have. It's quite amazing, isn't it? I feel sad sometimes when we walk by Chinese restaurants, seafood restaurants, and these beautiful fish are in the tanks, and I'm thinking, be free. Yeah. One more thing.
Birds.
Birds, right? Okay. Oh, yeah. The plants that cat fly trap, Venus fly traps, right? The ones that do that. Yeah, a little creepy. That might have happened after the fall. I'm not sure. But so all of these things. So when you think about that, I was thinking about all of these different things that God created, and it gives us, you know, there's a lot that we know about God, but there's so much we don't know, right? There's so much we don't know. But when we look at what he has made, it does give us some insight into what God's mind is like, right? His creativity, his just how could anybody think of all of these things? God was so creative, and in our naming of them, or Adam's naming, we don't know what he named them, but you know, we couldn't get much further than red bird. Blue bird, black bird, because there's so much creativity. After a while, we run out of words. And so God thought these things and then spoke them into being. And then for his highest creation, and you already know what I'm going to say, right? For his highest creation, instead of speaking it into being and it just coming, just kind of boom, okay, let it be. For his highest and his best and most loved creation, God did something different. And for his best and highest and most loved creation, into which he was going to invest himself the most, he decided to have a template for that, right? A template. You may not have thought of that before. When I was younger, much younger, very young, I used to love to trace things. Did any of you ever used to... You know, you get tracing, you trace, especially those of you that are artists, a lot of times we start that way with some of those things. And really what you had was a template or a pattern, to use another simple word. So when God got to his highest creation, God chose to use a template, a pattern for his most loved and highest creation. And we read in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, I'm not reading all of it for the sake of time. Then God said, "Let us make human beings. I'm using the word human beings instead of man, because the original word here, man, mankind, means human beings. So I've used this so we can get the idea. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then he blessed them. I love that. That last, you can read more on your own. So God makes this wonderful thing, then he blesses them. That's what God does. Did you know that God blesses? God doesn't curse. The devil curses. God blesses. God blesses. And so God said, let's make man in our own image, in our likeness. Everything else that God made was its own entity, was its own likeness, was its own whatever. But for man, God said, and women, men and women, and people, God said, I'm going to make you like me. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to make you like me. And that's what he did. And then he blessed them. I want you to see this with me, because this is part of God's work, okay? So God purposed, God desired, God had a will for something, and then he worked, and he brought people, he brought us into being. And then something else. So we look at this, Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Up until his best creation, God says he saw it and it was good. He saw it and it was good. And then he got to man and he said he saw that it was very, very good. How many of you, you may not have thought about it this way, you go buy clothes and then somewhere on your clothes or on the item that you buy, there's a little white sticker and it says QC and there's a number or inspected by such and such somewhere, right? What is that? There we go. It's quality control. So that what you've purchased to wear or to use or to whatever has been inspected by somebody who knows what the standard should be. And they say, yep, it meets the standard. Have you ever thought of Genesis 1:31 in this way? Here's God's quality control. Here's God's QC. I guess his number would be one. He's the first inspector. And God saw. This God saw. It doesn't just mean that he looked. It means that God looked over all that he'd made and he saw. It's very, very good. It's very, very good. So this is what God does. Now, let's go forward a little bit. I told you it'd be in Genesis and then we're going to move forward. The Lord God took the man and he placed him in the Garden of Eden to what? Here we go. Here's our word. What? To work it and watch over it. Some other translations may say to tend it or to care for it. But so here's God. He says, we're going to make man like ourselves. He makes man. He's working. And then he takes the man that he has made in his image and he puts him in the Garden of Eden. Everything is provided. But what does he do? What does he say, if you will? What does he say to the people he has made? To the person he has made. He gives him a purpose, doesn't he? He gives him something to do. Now, Adam, you're not just going to sit in Eden under a palm tree and eat grapes or whatever fruit is your favorite. There is something for you to do. Why? Because God made man like himself. God had a purpose. God worked. God produced out of his being. And it's God's plan for us to be the same way, okay? So young people, older people, what God wants out of our lives is something that is productive because God has made us like himself. Now, if you look at this, some of you may say, but my work is not very fulfilling. My work isn't very godly. I clean toilets. I make sure the airport is secure. I'm not exactly sure what John does, but I think it has something to do with airport and security. I'm not sure. I think. Maybe it's secret. I don't know. Or something else, or building furniture. And you may say, that's not very spiritual. And what I say to you is, look at what God gave Adam to do. Take care of the garden. Be a gardener. Okay, go back. Lerma, who loves trees, because they come from a little seed. Be a good gardener, Adam. And as we know, Adam ended up not being a very good gardener because something got into the garden that shouldn't have gotten in there. But what God does is he makes us like himself and he gives us purpose. So want us to see this as God's pattern, right? For whatever the work that God, whatever the work that God has for us to do. So I want to ask you some things now as we're going to move forward now. That's way back when in the beginning. So now I want to ask you something different. What is the work? What are some of the works that you do? I'd like some feedback again. You can say anything. And any of the work that you're involved in. And some of you are sitting here saying, I'm this. I can guarantee you this morning, every single person sitting here has work to do in some way. And when I say work, I mean something that comes out of your life, right? Something that's produced from your life. Okay? What do you do? Anybody? John's is a secret, but it's at the airport. And it's scary. Okay, Marianne teaches children. Woo, that's work, isn't it? Okay, someone else. Anyone?
Cleaning the house.
Thank you, Ida, cleaning the house. Okay, what do you do, Kathleen?
IT.
IT. A deep and mysterious secret known to only a few. Kathleen does IT. Somebody else. That was Josie, and she said, walk the dog, whose name is Snowball. Okay, I'm speaking lightly, but this is true. So let's go a little bit further, a few more types of work. Sister Lisa, what do you do?
I work in an office.
You work in an office, okay? Nanai, what do you do? I'm weak and old and tired. I don't do anything. Not true. She's washing the dishes in the house. And you're a grandmother and a mother. And you pray and you influence. And some of you, when your child cries, you dry their tears and you say, it'll be okay. I'll help you. You'll make it. And when they come home from school saying, then you encourage them. And when a coworker is upset about something, you're a peacemaker. When a classmate gets discouraged, you encourage them. These are all works. These are all works because God has made us for that. God has made us to be productive in our lives. So now move forward to Ephesians 2:10, and here's this beautiful verse. Do we find Genesis all the way in the New Testament? We surely do. Look with me. Wonderful verse that covers everything we've talked about. For we are God's workmanship, or handiwork is another. It's really creative. Although God used himself as a template, you and I are the most creative and wonderful thing that God made. We are. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love this verse, and I hope you'll think about it more as we talk about it this morning. So you're God's workmanship, no matter what other people say. Some of you I already know because I've talked with you or others. You may have been told in your life or treated in your life you are worthless, or you're not worth very much, or you will never amount to anything. We have been told things like that. Some have been told by loved ones, you are ugly. Other things like that. But God says, you are my workmanship. And then God doesn't stop there, because you are made in the image of God. You have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What good works? What good works? All sorts of good works. You mean works in the church, like Pastor Rowena? Yes. Works in the church like Pastor Rowena, but many other works as well. All sorts of things that can be found in the classroom where you teach children, that can be found in your home where sometimes relationships are stressed or there is strife, in your workplace where you've got pressure like I can't even imagine, but there are good works there. Wherever we are, or in the home where you're cleaning the house, or walking the dog. We are created for good works in all that we do, in all that we do. So God has made you like himself. God's purpose hasn't changed. His plan hasn't changed. And he's created you for good works. God's already prepared them. You know, I'm tired. I don't want to do them. Well, if you don't do them, who's going to do them? God has prepared in advance for you to do. And if God has prepared something for you to do, he hasn't prepared it for me to do. Not, oh, let the pastor do it. No, I can't do your work. God's prepared it for you to do, not for me. And you can't do what God wants me to do either. We all have good works that he's prepared for us to do. So as we think about that, I want us now in these 15 minutes or so that we have, I want to talk about three important characteristics of work that touch every one of us that are found in the book of Nehemiah that will help us as we go about all the work that we have to do in the classroom, as parents, as teachers, as domestic helpers, as workers in office, as bosses, as grandmothers, as finance work, all of these things, as teenagers, as young adults, all of these things. So we go to Nehemiah, and so if you want to turn, if you're saying exactly now, where is Nehemiah? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Song of Solomon. You can find it that way. So we go all the way back, Old Testament, and you know the background, right, of the book of Nehemiah. This was after Israel had turned away from God, and because they had turned away from God, God let them choose their own path, and they became captives of Babylon, the nation of Babylon. At that time, one of the most powerful. And they were taken away, most of them, as exiles, prisoners of war. And then another kingdom, another powerful king and kingdom came in and defeated the Babylonians. It was the Persians, okay, under Cyrus the Great. And so Cyrus the Great was used by God, though he wasn't a God follower at all. He knew there was a God in heaven, and he began to release the Jews to go back. So they began to go back home. But not everybody went back to Jerusalem or to Judah. Some stayed in Babylon. Some stayed in the Persian Empire, continuing their work. And one of those men was Nehemiah, okay? So Nehemiah was in the Persian Empire, and his job was really important. His job was, he was Jewish, he followed God, but his job was to be the cupbearer to the king, or the wine bearer. Okay, what does that mean? Now, some of you see me sometimes on Sunday morning, and I'll lean over and I'll ask Ida or somebody else, would you get me some water, please? Because my throat sometimes gets really dry, especially with some of the medication that I take. That is not what it means to be a cupbearer. Like, oh, king, here is your cup. It was a very important job. It was a very dangerous job because the easiest way to poison someone was to put poison in their drink or like on the, you know, on the rim of it. And so the cupbearer had to drink what the king was going to drink. I guess they waited a minute to see if he fell over dead or foamed at the mouth, I don't know. And then when he was okay, then he would give it to the king. So that's what Nehemiah did. And Nehemiah is serving the king in the Persian kingdom, and he hears that some of his blood brother and some others have come back from Jerusalem. And he says, oh, they're so great. How many of you sometimes you have friends coming back from your home country, right? And you want to catch up with them. How is it? What is it? And then you catch up. So he's hoping everything's great in Jerusalem, but what he hears is, it's not great in Jerusalem. And so they say, those who've survived the exile, they're back in the province. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. So anyhow, it's a bad situation without going into all the details. So what is Nehemiah's response? Look with me, and then we're going to talk about God again. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I want you to catch something here if you haven't caught it before. You and I and Nehemiah was made in the image of God. When God created the world, God saw something that was not as he wanted it to be. And so he did something about it because he's God and he's creative, right? And so he made this beautiful universe, as Keith Moody said. Here's Nehemiah, whose heart is connected to God, okay? Do you see that? He's in touch with God. And he hears about something that is not right. And his heart is grieved. His heart is grieved. And he sits down. He weeps. He prays. He fasts. Now, let me ask you something. You work in an office. You're a mother or a father in a home. You're in a classroom. You're all of us. How do you feel when something in your home, in your relationships, in your family is out of order or is in chaos or relationships are broken? I think all of us deal with that at times, right? Relationships aren't right. How do you feel about it? What does it do to you? What does it cause? Well, because you're made in the image of God, what that does in your heart and mind, I hope, is it gives you a burdened heart, an unhappy heart, right? You may be weeping. You may be praying. I hope you're praying. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. God has made us like himself. And so just as God looked and saw, this can be, I want to do something. I want to make it good. I want to make it very good. I want to restore. I want to make something. This was his will and purpose, and then he worked so that it was that way. Here's Nehemiah, and here are you and I, and he hears this, and it's not good, and it's not right. And he begins to weep, and he begins to pray. Why? Because he's made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. Why do broken relationships upset you? Listen, because you're made in the image of God. And God has made you for a relationship. God has made you to be in a family. And our hearts are burdened and our hearts are hurt. And anyhow, we'll go down that road. But because we're made in the image of God. And that's why God was so grieved when you and I turned away from him and he sent Jesus. Why? Because it wasn't right and it wasn't good and people were lost in their sin and people's lives were a mess and they had no hope and they had no future. And God said, I can't have that. This is my creation. So he sends Jesus. Now that's God, but he's made us like himself. So here's Nehemiah. So what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah then begins to pray. And he prays. He says, oh God, Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. I'm going to have to skip over something because of time. Grant me success, because he's going to go in and he's going to see the king. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. I'm skipping over some things for sake of time. Let's get to the three things. So he goes into the king. The king sees something wrong. And the king said, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven. See, he's got his priorities right. I replied, if it please the king, and if you're pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. And so as we look at this, here's this. He says, send me back. We've seen Nehemiah's prayer, and God puts something in Nehemiah's heart. So, brothers and sisters, when you and I face situations, your family, right? Your classroom, your business, your work, walking the dog. I'm not making fun of that. I'm really not. These are the things that we're given to do in your classroom, your studies, all of these things. When things are out of order, when there are things to do, there are good works that God has for us to do. You see, God always has a purpose. God always has a will. God always has an idea. Idea is not really a very good word, but let me use it. God always has an idea about the bad situation you are in. God always has a hope and a plan for you, for that broken relationship that you're part of. You have a dysfunctional office situation or work situation. Guess what? God has a plan for that. God has a plan for that. God has a will for that. Well, how is his will going to be worked out? Is God going to speak from heaven? Let there be. Nope. God doesn't work that way anymore. Do you know why God doesn't work that way? Because he made you in his image. And he put himself in you to carry out the good works that are to be done for you to do. But when you get with God and talk with God about that situation, that person, all of these things, do you know what God is going to do? God's going to do for you what he did for Nehemiah. He went around, he looked in the night, and then look at what Nehemiah writes. I didn't tell anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. That's what I want you to see. Here's the first thing you need to know about whatever work it is that you and I have to do. And that is, it is God's work. It's God's work. You say, I just teach in a classroom. It's God's work. I deal with finances. It's God's work. I clean houses. It's God's work. And if you are in tougher situations where things are broken and things are out of order, it's really God's work, because God always cares about things that are out of order. He really does. He really does. What are you going to do about that thing that's out of order? Are you going to complain? Are you going to gossip? Are you going to fuss? Are you going to fight? Are you going to point fingers at others? No. What you're going to do is ask God, and God's going to put something in your heart to do in that situation, as he did for Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah goes and he says, I didn't tell anyone what my God had put in my heart. Nehemiah had no way to fix this problem on his own, but God did. So he talks to God. God put something in his heart. Do you have a terribly messed up situation right now? I do not know what to tell you. I do not know the answer. But if you will talk with God, God will put in your heart the good work that he has prepared in advance for you to do. That work may be prayer first. It should always be prayer first. But then there may be other things. So the first thing I want you to see is that the work that you do, it's God's work. What God has for you to do, it comes from him. It comes from him. So it's God's work. Second thing I want us to see is this. So what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. So he talks with the people, and then he says, come on, let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. We'll no longer be in disgrace. He's giving them what God has put in his heart. Here's number two. Are you ready? You thought, how are we going to get to 3 points? We are. We're going to get to 3 points easily this morning. Look with me. I told them about how God had helped me thus far. That encourages people. What the king had said to me, that encourages people. And then they replied, let us start rebuilding. Okay, so there's the response to God's work as Nehemiah shares it. Now, here's point number two. By the way, for those of us that are English speakers, sorry, it's 3 G's, so this is better than 5 G. My beloved. This is better than 4G. We're happy with 3G this morning. The first G is God's work. The second G is what? What does it say in this verse? Good work. Good work. The second thing is that it's good work. It's good work. You say, you mean that frustrating whatever. If you're God's child and you are doing as he calls you to do with really frustrating workmates and whatever, it's good work. It's good work. People will sometimes look at you and say, psh, are you wasting your life? I had taught at university for several years in the U.S., and for some reason, the academic dean of the university took a liking to me. I don't know why. I think I was kind of a jerk sometimes in those days. But he was so kind to me, Dean Johnson. And I had gone to China and I was teaching. And he ran into my mom after I'd been teaching for, I think, a couple of years in northern China. And he saw my mom, and he knew it was mom. And he said, well, how's Jennifer doing? And mom said, oh, she's doing well, and this and this and this. You know what he said? I think I've told you some of you this before. Do you know what he said? He shook his head, and he said, what a waste of my life, in other words. What a waste doing that when I could be there at the university doing all of these different things and climbing the ladder and getting my PhD. And I would love to have gotten a PhD. I really would have. But that's not going to happen. I'll wait to heaven to get smarter at this point. And he said, what a waste. And my mom, you know my mom, right? Mom said, it's not a waste. She's doing good work. And I was. And you are too. And you need to know that God's work that you do, God's work is good work. It's good work. The work of being a wife, a husband, a boss, a friend. It's good work. It's good work. And God has created it for you to do. So it's God's work and it's good work. And then we're going to go all the way forward. You thought we weren't going to get to the three G's. We are. Okay? And then here's the last one. Oh, Nehemiah, such a wonderful book. But we don't have time. I think we're going to come back to it again at some point. But look with me at Nehemiah 6, and we're going to see what the third G is. So the enemies, you're wondering how to pronounce those names, right? Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. Those are how to pronounce the three names. They're the enemies. They're other enemies. They heard that I had rebuilt the wall. No gap was left in it, but they hadn't put up the gates. So just notice this, by the way. When you are involved in God's good work, you will have opposition. You will have enemies. Things will come against you to discourage you. Gossip will come against you. There may be personal attacks. You may grow tired in the work. It may seem too hard for you to do because there's not a breakthrough. It may seem like, forget it, let me move on. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. And so the enemies come to him and they try to stop him by distracting him. They sent me a message. Come, let's meet together in the village. But they were planning to harm me. You see, Nehemiah has a very clear picture. I'm doing God's good work, right? I'm doing God's good work. No. So how does Nehemiah respond? I love Nehemiah so much. So I sent messengers to them saying, okay, ready? Find the 3G. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? So there's your third G, right? The work that you do. It is what?
Great.
It's great work. Do you know why it's great work? It touches people's lives. You know why it's great work? Because people are eternal. Do you know why it's great work? Because what you do honors the Lord and glorifies God in every area. And when the enemy tries to distract you and discourage you and stop you, you need to tell the enemy and yourself, I am involved in a very great work and I cannot come down from the wall. And you keep on going. You keep on going. Some of you are in situations right now that you want to stop, or you may already have stopped. Let's be honest. You may have given up on some people. You may have given up on some relationships. You may have given up on some whatever. You know what those things are. You know what those things are. And what I say to you this morning is God's good work is great. And if you've stopped, it's time to start. It's time to start. Because if you stop, who's going to keep rebuilding the wall? If you stop, who's going to do what God has given you to do? If you stop praying about that thing, who else is going to pray? Who else is going to care? God's good and great work. And so he refuses to be distracted. They keep on again. I just want you to see that. The enemy doesn't stop. The enemy keeps on four times and then a fifth time. And Nehemiah just keeps on going. And now, as we're coming to a close this morning, Nehemiah rejects the enemy. And then look at what he says. And here we come to this wonderful, this is going to be our not confirmation. Sorry, my brain is still tired from my travels. Our commitment this morning. Look with me. The enemy, Nehemiah says, they were just trying to intimidate us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed. That's what God wants. He wants your hands to get too weak, because hands symbolize work, right? Hands always symbolize work. So here's our commitment this morning, brothers and sisters, as we close. I think I did pretty well. God's work. Good work, great work. And if you are getting discouraged or if you have stopped, that's what the enemy wants. You ready for the prayer? We're going to pray this morning. They thought their hands will get too weak for the work. And you know what Nehemiah's prayer is? It's so great. It's so simple. But now, oh God, strengthen my hands. So that's going to be our prayer this morning. That's going to be our commitment this morning. That's going to be the rock on which we stand this morning as we come to the Lord. Where are you in the work of God that is good and that is great, and you've gotten discouraged? The devil's going to, it's too tough to be a good husband. It's too tough to keep a moral stand. It's too tough to be honest in business. Poppycock. It's time, oh God, now strengthen my hands for the work. That's how we're going to close this morning. So whatever you're facing, whatever work you have, the work of a mom with a difficult child, husbands, wives, workers, students, whatever, I invite you with me this morning just to hold out your hands. We're not being weird. We're just doing something physical. This is just, it helps us to, because this is what we work with. I know we use our brains, but this symbolizes. And I just invite you with me to say, but now, oh God, strengthen my hands. Let's just say it. Let's say it several times as we talk to God. But now, oh God, strengthen my hands. But now, oh God, strengthen my hands. Lord, this morning as we come to you, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Nehemiah, that's so simple, but Lord, you teach us. Lord, it's your work, so we want to make sure we've heard from you and that you've put something in our hearts, because you've created things in advance for us to do. And Lord, we're reminded again that if you've given it to us to do, it's good work. It's not bad work. It's not unimportant. It's not meaningless. It's good work. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would again speak to each heart here this morning and reestablish, Lord, speak to their hearts so that they know, God, I'm doing good work. It's your work, and it's good work. And then, Lord, I pray specifically for those who have really, they just want to give up. Their hands are tired. Their hands are weak from the good, from God's good work. Lord, I pray this morning that they would see it is great work. It is great work with eternal significance and eternal consequences, because it honors you, and we do what you've prepared in advance for us to do. God, would you strengthen our hands for your good and great work, so that the wall will be rebuilt, so that the work that you give us to do, we will do. We will do for eternal purposes, for your glory. Thank you, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.